receiving you all, K2RIW, K2 Romeo India Whiskey, and Mel, K2KEY, are about to start the TechNet under unusual conditions as a carrier on the input. So only the signals that are strong enough will be able to override that carrier and get through tonight on the TechNet. As everyone already knows, the TechNet, its major purpose is a gathering of the clan where we discuss ham radio subjects with each other and find out how the 26 different kinds of ham radio work and how to get more enjoyment out of it, how to make the hardware work better. Your transmitters, your receivers, your transmission lines, your antennas, the propagation, the various modes, and so on. A person signs into the TechNet by giving Mel and Dick your call letters, your name, and a confirming yes, which means you do have a question or a comment for the net. So if you think your carrier is strong enough that you can override that stuck signal on the input, give us your call letters and name and that yes or no right now. K2RIW is listening.
M2EO, Rich and Yes. Fabian, no questions.
KC2RXV, no questions.
KC2KXK, no questions.
WS2N, Paul, with a space report. I don't hear anything coming out on the Feldman machine.
Okay, so far we've got Rich, Fabian, KXV, KCK, no, KXV I think it is, KCK, KC2KXK, something like that. Can't even read my own writing. Anyone else to sign in? Give me your call letters, name, and a yes or no at this time. Call letters and name.
WS2N, Paul. And what's the space report? I don't hear anything coming out of the Zeldin machine at the time, Dick.
Yeah, the Zeldin machine, you can get into it, Paul. Although you're sounding pretty good, so not to worry. Paul recognized. Anyone else to check in?
W2PNJ, no. KC2MDP, Steve, no questions.
Are you going to see me out just for information?
Okay, we've got PNJ, Steve, and Andy. Go right ahead with your info.
Yeah, due to the situation, the link is not on right now between this and Selden. The link is not up.
Okay, I'm coming in on the eastern link right now, Andy. WA2CDO, K2LIW.
You're getting into it, but you're not linked the other way because of time.
But do you have the internet turned on for the other repeater?
Andy, want to answer that question from, I can't think of his call letters. Is the internet link operational? Andy, is the internet link operational or has that also timed out?
No, the repeater in Selden is timed out. That's why you're not hearing it. You can get into it, but you're not going to hear it back.
Okay, and for those who get in by way of the internet, do they have a link or has that timed out also?
No, the link is up. That link is working.
Okay, who's the person who signed in with the link? I should know you very well.
That was Joe. W-A-2-R-Y-Y, I think.
It sure was Joe, W-A-2-R-Y-Y.
You're not connected to the internet.
Okay, Joe, we're not connected to the internet. But at least we're hearing Joe, and apparently Joe is hearing us by hook or by crook. One last call. Anyone to check into the TechNet, give me your call letters, name, and the confirming yes at this time.
Kilo Bravo 2, Victor Delta Victor, Laura, no Tesla.
Laura recognized, and no traffic. One last call. Anyone else?
KC2OJO, Howard, no.
And Howard with a no. Okay, the first person with a yes was Rich, and to Echo Oscar. Go right ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, M2EO. How are we making it over the carrier, Dick?
Reasonably well. A little bit of buzz in the background, but we're hearing 95% audio out of you, Rich.
Okay, Dick, we'll take it easy to everybody, and restoration. I have a question, Dick. All the Collins tube equipment, I've been having trouble with some brands of tubes. You would think they're all the same, but Collins uses three tubes that are 688. They're combination triode pentodes. And I found in one particular stage Phillips ECG tubes absolutely do not work. You can't zero out the ALC meter. I don't know if the tubes have too much gain, not enough gain. Maybe Miller's on frequency, but I tried Sylvania, I tried TE, I tried RCA. They all work fine, but the Phillips don't work in that stage, and unfortunately the Phillips are what's available. I've been by some GE's and Sylvania's and RCA on eBay that I had to scout around. I wonder if anybody has made circuit modifications or why this piece of jam, the Joint Army Navy Jam 2 that came out of the military, brand new in jam boxes, I believe in 1985, you would think they're all the same, but everything else works in this particular stage except the Phillips. And I'm wondering if anybody has made circuit changes or what, because it's 688 is not a very common tune. And eventually the source is going to dry up. Yes, it's the real.
When the Phillips tube is put in that particular location, what are the symptoms of the operation versus a tube of another brand? Over to you, Rich.
It's in the transmitter IF. I'd have to go downstairs and look at the diagram. It is the pento that's being used, but I just remembered. It's a zero adjustment. There's a zero adjustment on the ALC meter. And when you see the transmitter with no signal, the ALC meter should sit at zero. With the Phillips, it sits three-quarter way scale, and you bring down the pot, you run out of range.
So, now, where the ALC meter doesn't get properly zeroed, that's a front panel indication. Does the transmitter still behave and still transmit under those conditions? Or is there a lack of carrier rejection or something like that? Are there any other symptoms, Rich, where when you use the tube, even though the meter looks wrong, does it still transmit in a way that people hear a clean signal? Over to you, Rich.
Yeah, it does. I didn't check the drive level to see if the drive is a little lower or a little higher. But yeah, the transmitter performs normally. It's just that idiosyncrasy with being able to zero out the ALC meter. I could change a resistor and bring it into range if necessary, but I really hate to do that.
Do you believe the pento tube that's powering the ALC meter, is it used only for meter indication, like an S meter indication in the transmit mode, is what ALC metering really is? And if the tube is only used to move the meter and not to really supply a signal, then the actual signal on the air wouldn't be bad. Is there the possibility that it's just a front panel meter error that creates a false alarm, but yet the rest of the transmitter might be behaving correctly? In which case, I'll bet you there's a way you could work around that and use it, learn to live with it, so to speak. Over to you, Rich.
Yeah, the transmitter seems to perform normally. I'm trying to remember now. I believe that pentode is actually used in the ALC circuit. I'd have to look with a scope and see if the rig is flat-topping. I don't believe it is. I don't know, you know, I could live with it, but, you know, I like I say, it would be a simple enough thing to make a a change in that zeroing circuit. What they do is they're running a pot on the grid of the tube. I'm not in front of the diagram, but if I recall, on one end of the pot they've got a negative voltage, on one end of the pot they've got a positive voltage, and they sort of balance it out by varying the pot. I think there's a resistor in series with that pot that I can change, but you know, in the interest of keeping it column for column, I hate to start modifying the circuitry because of the idiosyncrasies of that too. I'm more curious, why is it it's got the same number, 688, but a Sylvania, a GE, an RCA, some others, they work fine, only the Philips. And I've tried about a half a dozen of the Philips. They're all the same.
Okay, I'm going to be passing it over to Mel, because he's worked with Collins equipment, and bet you he's knowledgeable on this one. However, I'm going to make a guess. Many pentode tubes that are used in rigs back in that era had either normal operation or something they called remote cutoff. Remote cutoff pentode is one where the voltage you put on the grid to cut off the emission from the cathode to the plate on that pentode was a very different voltage than an ordinary operation of a pentode. And so you could say it's got a very different bias point, a zero bias point, almost like comparing a FET transistor to an enhancement FET to a depletion FET. There are kinds of FETs where you have to put a forward voltage on the gate in order to start the emission. There are kinds of FETs where you have to put a negative voltage on the gate to stop it from overconducting. And so one's enhancement mode and one's, I guess they call it, depletion mode. So there was an equivalent of that with pentode tubes in those days. I am guessing that Philips didn't realize that the pentode had to have two characteristics. One, a certain minimum transconductance, GM, and second of all, a particular bias cutoff voltage, the remote cutoff characteristic. They may have forgotten to do that on that particular design, and they made every one of them that way. They were measuring emission and gain and considered the tube normal and didn't bother measuring the remote cutoff characteristics. Pure guess on my part. Let's see if Mel has run into anything like this. KQKEY, one of our Collins experts, KQIYW. You got it, Mel.
Okay, this is K2KEY. Yeah, I've run into a number of problems with replacing tubes and columns. And the difference is basically the updated tubes, they supposedly did some improvement on materials and construction of the tubes when they went over to the ETG, because they are... Collins was using a number of tubes that were more or less JAN, you know, specification. So what I did with some of the tubes, I tried to match them up. I have an old transconductance tube checker. And so what I was doing to try to do the least amount of modification of the circuitry was I was taking the tubes, I have quite a collection of them, and trying to, you know, more or less make comparisons, measuring the transconductance of the tubes, and found that, again, as you got more modern years, up towards the later years of tubes, the difference, the characteristics, especially in the transconductance, was quite a bit of difference. So the newer tubes seem to have a little bit higher gain takeover.
Okay, that's one characteristic, higher gain. By the way, anyone listening to our transmission tonight will hear a tone in the background. Somewhere in Suffolk County, someone has a carrier of a transmitter stuck on. It has a PL operational. And what you hear on Mel's circuit, Mel's transmission, is you hear a wow, wow. In other words, you're listening to the beat note between the 136.5 hertz PL tone that Mel is using versus the one that the stuck transmitter is using. So once every 2 or 3 seconds, those two PL tones go in phase, and you hear almost no PL heterodyne, and then they go out of phase. Andy has run into something very similar to that with some of the electronics being used in New York City, where two separate sources of signal both have a PL tone, but the PL tones are out of phase with each other, and therefore when the PL tones, which are FM modulating the signal, making the carrier deviate up and down in frequency, when they're in phase, you hear very little tone in the background. When they're out of phase, you hear a considerable peak note, and you're actually hearing the heterodyne of the two carriers that are offset from each other. You know, one might be instantaneously going up in frequency, the other's instantaneously going down. Therefore, you hear an increasing frequency of the beat note, which goes to something very small as the PL tones go in phase again. If the PL tones were both synchronized to some master oscillator at the National Bureau of Standards, whatever amount of beat note you hear would be steady as opposed to wobbling like that. Now, getting back to these tubes, Mel, both you and Rich talked about the ECG series of tubes, Echo, Charlie, Golf. What does that stand for? The tube itself, I think Rich called it a 6 Alpha Charlie 8, 6 AC 8, and you said it's an ECG tube. What is ECG? Is that an electronic equivalent tube, a solid-state plug-in? What is that really, Mel? K2KEY, K2RIW.
Okay, this is K2KEY. The ECG series was a tube that were made. That's Sylvania's designation. You look in Sylvania's manuals, like on transistors, it all starts with ECG. This is their, I guess it's their company designation for replacement of components. The transistor manual, like I say, is all ECG, diodes, everything they have in there. And they also provided this ECG line with tubes, Dick. In other words, they're parts line, basically, for generic replacement parts, starts with ECG, over.
Okay, so we don't know what it stands for, but it's a particular production run or something like that, Sylvania's designation. And Philips, I guess, also contributed to this ECG series, but the Philips tubes are giving the problem. And I'm guessing it's the remote cutoff characteristic being different on Philips versus the other tubes. I mean, just because both tubes are a pentode, both tubes have the same power output capability, both tubes have the same amount of approximate gain, doesn't mean they have to both have the same cutoff voltage. In other words, the amount of bias on the control grid that'll stop the emission. That's what the so-called remote cutoff pentodes were. Remote cutoff pentodes, as I remember, were used frequently as oscillator mixer combinations. I think a remote cutoff pentode as a first IF amplifier or as a mixer stage behaves a little bit more enthusiastically as a mixer because of that sharp cutoff characteristic. That's a guess on my part. Anyone with any further comments on this, Harold in particular, if he happens to be within earshot, we'd like to hear from him. KQRIW listening. Okay, back to you, Rich. I'll bet you when you do further testing, you're going to find out that it's only a meter indication on the front panel, and quite possibly you can live with that and ignore the meter. Either that or, yeah, you could do a modification of a resistor and change the bias and bring the meter back down. But I'm guessing that even if you bring the meter back down to zero, because of the difference in the cutoff characteristic, the meter will not be properly calibrated in gain. See, in order to properly use a meter, you've got to have the right gain and the right offset. Zeroing is what I would call offset. Gain is really how scotch or how liberal the meter is, would it still indicate the proper amount of drive level for ALC is a darn interesting question. Now that it reads so far upscale, my guess is when you're talking to the mic at normal volume, the meter just pegs quite frequently. N2, Echo Oscar, K2RIW.
Now, Rich, what's the tube are you looking at exactly?
6 Alpha Charlie 8, I think it was. Back to you, Rich.
6 Alpha Zulu 8, 6 AC8. It's a combination triode pentode. They use three of them in the KWM2, two in the second IF as amplifiers. And now the one I'm looking at is C4. C4 is used in the transmitter IF. And Dick, Mel is partially right on one thing. the range it was in was the ECG, but that North American Civic was the ECG line from Pennsylvania, I guess in the late 70s, early 80s. So, the two say Civic ECG. Because these are joint Army Navy tubes. They're jam tubes. You would think they would be made to military spec. And the thing is, there are a lot of places that are selling replacement kits, a complete set of tubes for these radios like KWM2. And they are supplying a lot of the Phillips tubes because apparently the government comes to them on the market, and they all work, except in that one stage. So I don't know, what I may eventually do then is change the bias resistor. Right now, fortunately, I purchased, when I saw the problem, I purchased some older, new old stock Sylvania RCA and GE, and I was too curious. Problem was, because they all
work
fine.
Yeah,
it's
a
two-wheel.
I know his problem. Now I know the
truth. Go right ahead,
Dumbbell. Okay, this is K2KDY. He's talking about the 6 Alpha Zulu 8. That's what was throwing me off. That is a, if I remember correctly, it's what they call a semi-remote. I ran into the same difficulty. That is a semi-remote cut-off tempo. And the problem with that is they changed the capacitance in load, and they raised it on a newer VCG line. I know the original Jan was, I think I remember measuring around 6.5 TF, and then they went ahead and they raised it up to about 8 or something, some characteristics. I remember off the top of my head because I went nuts trying to figure out what the heck is going on with that damn tube. I had that in a couple of Collins radios. The S line also, Dick, over.
Okay, semi-remote cutoff. So there's three different kinds of cutoff. Remote cutoff, sharp cutoff, semi-remote cutoff. So the way you design a tube, the Jan requirement probably was for a certain gain, a certain power output, but one of the more subtle characteristics of the tube is a semi-remote cutoff and remote cutoff characteristic. And maybe that wasn't checked so carefully when they got the Jan designation. That's a guess on my part. By the way, Mel, it takes 6 seconds for your PL tone versus the PL tone of the stuck transmitter in Suffolk County. It takes 6 seconds for them to go in phase and out of phase. That means your 136.5 hertz PL tone generator in your rig is 0.2 of a hertz higher or lower in frequency than the 136.5 hertz generator that's in the one that's the stuck transmitter. I know because it takes 6 seconds, 5 seconds almost, a little bit less than 0.2 of a hertz of offset. One of you guys is probably 136.5, the other one's 136.2, or something like that. You can tell by the rate at which they go in phase and out of phase. And it looks like my transmitter is doing the same thing. I'm listening to... Yep, I'm also 5 seconds for a full cycle. So I'm guessing that you and I have got it right, 136.5, and the stuck transmitter is the one that's 0.2 of a hertz high or low. So there's some interesting science going on there from one point of view. If you had a good supply of Phillips tubes, and you know that the other brand that works well in the Collins rig is now becoming much harder to get, would you be willing to modify your KWM2 transmitter, Mel? Would you handle it by changing the resistor? And I think a carefully done resistor change inside of a Collins rig would certainly not really hurt the resale value. That's my guess. And to modify the rig so it works properly on the most popular value of popular brand of tube that's available is one way to go. I guess I've got to start worrying about making sure I've got a good set of tubes for my Drake R4C receiver, my favorite receiver when it comes to HF operation. the noise blanker that's in that rig, I don't think anyone on planet Earth has ever designed a better one. So whenever I'm in a very heavy noise, spiky environment on a tunable IF system that's connected to, let's say, a 432 converter or a 10 gigahertz converter, the Drake R4C is the receiver to be using as a tunable IF, even though it's an old-fashioned tube rig. N2K2KEY for any further comments on that. Would you modify the rig, or would you just make sure you got a good supply of Matt Phillips tubes? K2RW, you got it, Mel.
Yeah, Roger, this is K2KEY. Dick, a number of Collins Bolton came through where they did tell you about changing resistors and different radios. Like, for instance, there was a heck of a lot of modifications in the Collins by 7584 to take out resistors. In. I remember I have a whole pile of different modifications that was sanctioned, basically originally by the Collins Company and then by the Collins Collective. If it's done like you say, completely done neatly, you know, right, not a chop job, you know, you've got to take a little time to make a nice clean connection and everything like that. What I usually do, if I have to take out a resistor and place it, what I'll do is make it look right, especially. I clip the lead of the resistor I'm taking out fairly close to the body. I then take a piece of spaghetti sleeving over the new resistor, make two little loops on the pigtail, loop them together so that I solder it, and then I pull the pigtail, the pigtail sleeve over the connection point so that it masks it so it looks like it belongs that way. Like, in other words, you never made a cut. It makes it look very, very clean. That's the 6AZ8, the Zulu 8. Collins, you know, had a number of bulletins on those tubes. When you use that tube in what is known as, they refer to it as a Class A one amplifier, you get into some very peculiar characteristics with that because it is, like I say, a semi-remote cutoff pencil. I'm recalling a number of things, but I know exactly what he's talking about because it's the fairly prevalent through the Collins radio line takeover.
So I think you're saying Collins did recommend certain resistor changes to work with the Sylvania tube, or were they recommending certain resistor changes to give that circuit more range of its potentiometer so zeroing became easier regardless of which tube you plugged in? Which do you think the Collins notices on this were recommending, Mel? Go ahead.
I don't recall particularly on the KWM2, but they had a number of issues over the years with their S-line of it not holding adjustment of the S-meter. There was a problem that you constantly couldn't keep the S meter, you know, on zero. It would come on, you would
find
it was high, sometimes it was below the zero, and there was a number of changes that they recommended to cure that problem. And the problem, though, is circuit. Balancing circuit a bit. They refer to it as a Class A1 amplifier. For the sensor system, where they came up with that name, but called the Design Sensor System, Dick, over.
Okay, sounds like you're recommending a modification so that the zero metering should be more centered, and in other words, in the middle of the pot. Let's see if Joe's got some comments on this. WA2RYY, I think I heard you sign in, Joe. Wonder if you're using Collins equipment. I wonder if you've got some suggestions. Over to you, Joe.
K6CPZ. I was acknowledging the guy on 147.375. Did you hear him come through the repeater also?
Roger Dodger, we did. Harold, you're a big Collins man from way back.
Go ahead with your
comments, Harold.
Okay, Dick, very good. Yeah, I just happened to turn it on. I heard the mention of 6AZ8. Biggest problem with that situation is KWM2. They're running those tubes too hot. There's too much voltage on them, and resistors are changing value, and that's why there's a big zeroing problem. And there's a wide range of 6AZ8s as far as the transconductance from one make to another. Bridge circuits to the ALC. It's very critical. As far as modifying the KWM2, changing the screen resistor to the 6146, granted, you can do it with some 6146s, but I suggest that you make note where if you ever get rid of the radio, somebody puts in the stock tube that they're aware the screen resistor was changed, or else you're going to draw too expensive screen dissipation on it. That's my main comments, Dick. I work on many M2s.
So that's the solution that you take is what I think you're saying, Harold. Okay, that's good. The extra voice you're hearing in the background are people operating through the 147.375 machine, which you can't hear the output from this machine, therefore they don't know that they're coming through. Anyone with any further comments on Collins equipment, 6 Alpha Zulu 8 tube in the ALC circuit, and similar things, give us your call letters right now. KQRIW on the TechNet. K2 Yankee Lemur. Go right ahead. Start up with your name, sir.
Good evening, Dick. And that is QOP Yankee Oscar. Name is Bernie here. Ricky, I was just thinking that once you get this modification, you might want to write it up and publish it to the Collins group. As tubes do start to dry up in the future, this may become an important modification, and it could be known as the hot.
Well, Harold did tell us that there are a number of Collins bulletins on this subject. By the way, Bernie, you should speak a little closer to your mic, considering there's a heterodyne in the background from a stuck transmitter in Suffolk County. The amount of audio a person uses tonight is kind of critical. So, Harold did tell us that there are a number of Collins bulletins. So, whether or not Rich has something added to those Collins bulletins, let's see what